Good morning, everybody. A very warm welcome to worship this morning at Water Lane. A special welcome to any visitors and anyone who's joining us for the first time. Please do join us for coffee in the lounge after the service. Welcome also if you're not able to be with us this morning and are listening later to the recording of the service. A few notices now. This Wednesday, 26th of February, there will be an Ash Wednesday service at Stile at 10 a.m. Stile. So this will be led by Katie, and everyone is welcome to that. So that's Wednesday at 10 a.m. On Saturday, the 7th of March, at 10:15 a.m., there's going to be a pastoral visitor meeting. So for all the pastoral visitors, in the coffee lounge, Saturday 7th of March. And as we have Lent coming up, you'll see from the notices there are various Lent groups and activities happening. So if you're interested in any of these and would like some further information or to get one of the Lent booklets, Chris will be there in the lobby after the service. So now we welcome our preacher this morning, Malcolm Gunn from Cheadlehume Church. But first of all, we'll prepare for our worship with some music from the choir.
It's a joy to be here. Just in case you're wondering, I'm not going to be doing a solo stood up here singing. You'll be pleased to know. But it's a joy to come and worship with you today. And as we start, let's begin with a prayer of approach. Lord, we come here today asking for a deeper understanding of your ways, that you will open our hearts to all that we can be, that we will appreciate your grace. We have a desire to seek your faith, to see you in all your glory, and to listen to where you want us to go. Amen. Having just had the choir sing, it's time to sing again. It's number 24, and it is what we're about. Come, now is the time to worship. Let's stand, sit, let's sing.
How is the time? pray. Let's give thanks to God.
Dear God, we thank you not for simply making us, but for giving us life, for the sheer joy of being alive, for the pleasure of true fellowship with each other and with you, for the opportunity to enjoy your wonderful creation. We praise you that you have made us and that we can find renewal and satisfaction and a completeness, not just in the world around us, but in the love that you enfold us with, a love that fills our lives. We thank you that you have made us a special people. You have done this not because we are worthy, but because we must bear a special responsibility. Thank you for giving us your world to care for other people around us, for the opportunities to share your love and kindness, for helping us to see that even in the hard times, you walk with us. We praise you for the faith which you have filled, with which you have filled our lives. We praise you that we are each made as individuals and that you know each and every one of us by name. That you care about everything that happens to us. We thank you for all you give us. We thank you for all the opportunities to give back to your world. Amen. So later we're going to have a look at something that happened on a mountaintop. But I thought I'd first find out the things that we've climbed up. What have people climbed up? Trees? Stairs? Yeah. Ladders?
Yes.
Hills? Yeah, that big hill. There's a difference, isn't there? At some point it becomes a mountain. I don't know what the height is. Climbing frames? When you climb a tree, maybe some of our younger people know this more than the rest of us. What's it like when you first climb a tree or a climbing frame? Yeah. What do you feel like when you get to the top or as far as you want to go? When I first did some rock climbing, just to let you know, I hate heights. Why I did rock climbing, I have no idea. But I was really scared. But when I got to the top, I was absolutely thrilled. I'd done something I didn't think I could do. And the view at the top was somewhat different than the view on the ground. I thought we'd have a look at some mountains. Quite famous. What does everyone know which one it is? It's the Eiger, I hope. I hope. It's the Eiger. Not been to the top of that, but the view must be spectacular. The battle. Yeah. Right. And now we'll get a little on some biblical ones. It's it, yes. Oh, I was either a lucky guess or we have an expert with us today. Excellent, yes. Right out of the Bible. Let's try this one. It is. How cool is that? Where Jesus actually has been. How cool is that? We can see the very place.
Europe, Japan.
This one is Mount Hermon, which is apparently one of the options of the mountain that Jesus went up with the three disciples in the reading we're going to have from Matthew. The mountain where the three disciples witnessed the transfiguration. Brilliant, we can see the very place these things happened. But when we talk about mountains or hills, sometimes those things that we have to climb up aren't necessarily physical, are they? Sometimes it's the challenges we face. Sometimes we have some really big mountains to climb just in everyday life. And sometimes those might be a challenge to our faith. But we do have to face them and climb them. Because when we get to the top, the view of the world changes. No matter how hard it is to approach it, when we get there, the world is different. But it's good to climb. It challenges us. It makes us different people. And that's what we'll have a look at, what happened to the disciples when they went up the mountain with Jesus. What they saw, what happened, and then what came next. So, mountains, climbing frames, trees, all good things to climb up. And let's not forget, climbing up things is fun. And faith and our faith journey should have fun in it. It's about experiencing life with Jesus. It should be fun. It should make us smile. It should make us laugh. And sometimes it will make us cry. But we'll come out the other side. So as we think about mountains and the experience that the disciples had up this particular mountain, let's sing again. It's number 15, The Splendor of the King.
Lord, we have to joy.
Shall I have a prayer before you go? Dear God, it is such a pleasure to meet with you as a church family. We are all part of your family. And now, as parts of our family go into different parts of your building to learn about you, bless us all, young and old, that we may be touched by your Spirit. Amen. Let's come before God with our prayers of confession. Lord Jesus, when your love is too much for us and we turn away, help and forgive us. When fear, not faith, fills our hearts, forgive us. When we miss the glimpses of your glory and the blessings that you bring, forgive us. When we are mistrustful of the mystery of your glory, forgive us. You know all that we are. You see past the face that we present to the world. You know us each and every one. Forgive us when we forget who you are. We are your people. We strive to serve. At times, we get things wrong. Forgive us as we try and be the people you know we can be. Amen. It's time for our reading this morning, which does take us up a mountain. It's from Matthew 17.
Matthew 17, starting to read at verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Amen.
We'll sing again. It is number 471. It's Lord, I come to you. And it's kind of what we're about. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed. When we come to Jesus, that is what we're asking to happen. Let's sing.
Lord, I come.
pretty powerful reading from Matthew. Seeing the disciples go up the mountain. Only a few days ago, Peter had proclaimed or confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus had been explaining to his disciples that he's going to suffer and that he's going to be raised to life. Peter's complained that this can't happen, and Jesus has had to rebuke him. Jesus has warned about the hardship that's ahead for those following him. And now he's taking a journey up a mountain. And he takes Peter, James and John with him. He's been telling them how hard things are going to be. Is he trying to tell them something, show them something by taking them up the mountain? What new things did they wonder they might see up there? Something new, something surprising perhaps. Because the times they spent with Jesus, there have been lots of exciting and new experiences. And they get to the top of the mountain and it all happens. Jesus' appearance changes. They see him talking with Moses and Elijah. And then they hear God speaking. No ordinary trip to the top of a mountain. This is a transforming experience for all. Those three disciples are not going to be the same again. They're not going to forget what's happened to them. And then Jesus says, don't tell anyone what you've just seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. That must have been frustrating for them. What happened up that mountain? Well, let's have a think about just going up mountains. Whether you've walked up mountains or hills or driven up them, if they're like that, the Eiger or the Jungfrau, as you approach, there's something breathtaking about starting out up that journey. There's something humbling about seeing the mountain and trying to understand the glory of creation and where we fit in, our small part within that. A walk in the hills, a walk through the mountains can give you a different perspective on things. Some people invest a lot of time in climbing the mountains rather than walking up them. That's not because you get any more exercise. You can get just as much exercise walking up as you can climbing. But there's something about mastering the mystery of the climb. Going where few others have gone. Standing perhaps where only a few other people have stood. The interesting thing is when you talk, whether you've climbed up, whether you talk to people who've walked up mountains, most of the time they talk about the climb up and the great views. Not a lot of the time do they tell you about the treacherous descent. They get just as much exercise coming down, but for some reason it's about what we saw at the top. Standing on that high peak causes us to see things differently. The world looks different. And boy, did those disciples see things differently on the top of that mountain. They saw things that must have been very confusing for them. They'd seen things that others hadn't. And that's going to stay with them forever. That moment will forever shape their future. When we look at mountains, it's also sometimes our journey to faith. When we start searching for Jesus, when we realise there is something missing from within our lives, and we start that journey, and that journey can be a struggle and a climb until we meet with Jesus. In effect, at the top of the mountain, we meet with Jesus. We realise who Jesus really is. And whether that is on the top of a mountain or in a church, we have that mountaintop experience, something that changes us, which means we're not going to be the same again. But like the disciples, like those people who walk up mountains and come down, we have to understand that we do have to come down from the mountaintop experience. We have to bring that experience back down or out into the world for it to have meaning. We need to hold on to the mountaintop experience because it is part of who we are. But we also need to understand that we will go into the valleys as well. And today, perhaps, in this generation more than ever, we need to remember that Jesus stays with us from the mountaintop into the valley. Because so many people are telling us about all the good things in their lives, all their mountaintops, whether that's their faith, whether it's their job, whether it's their social life. People talk and share about their mountaintop experiences, and we compare our valley experiences with their mountaintop experiences. And we can become discouraged. People don't share the full breadth of what's happening, and we need to hold on to that. We need to understand that in the valleys, Jesus is with us. And that's important, because if you've been to any of those places with mountains, if you've been to the Lake District, the Peak District, anywhere, you can walk up a hill and the views are stunning. But you can walk through the valley, and there is beauty in the valley as well. We need to remember both, and we need to remember that Jesus is with us all the time. Those mountaintop experiences shape us, and we need to take those into the world. The valley experiences shape us, and we need to take those with us into the world. There was a doctor who was researching a book on death and dying. I'm sure that was a cheery subject. But during her research, she met a member of the cleaning staff at the hospital. This woman's job was to clean floors and empty baskets and tidy up patients' rooms. The strange thing was that the hospital staff noticed that after that lady had cleaned a room, the patients were invariably more content and more at peace. The lady was explaining to the doctor then that she'd known fear and tragedy in her life, as well as the good times. And she'd experienced the love of Christ through her life, through her friends. She'd had the highs, she'd had the lows. The worst was when her 3-year-old son died in her arms. All this could have embittered the lady. But what she said to the doctor was, "You see, those dying patients are just like old acquaintances to me. I'm not afraid to touch them, or talk to them, or offer them hope." Do you know what happened? The hospital changed the lady's title. Special counsellor to the dying. She took her mountaintop moments and her valley moments and put them into context in the real world. Those moments had defined who she was. And she used those moments for the glory of the kingdom. But let's just go back to what Jesus says to the disciples. I don't know about you, but when I read it, I struggle with this. I've seen something great, and I can't tell anyone. I'm bursting. Everything must have been bursting to tell all their friends what they'd seen. Why can't they share that experience? Is this something we can learn from what Jesus tells them? Perhaps when he's saying, "Wait until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead," he's telling them, if you don't wait, if you don't see the next step, it's not going to be in context. You need to use this experience at the right time. Wonder, if they told everyone about their experience straight away, would they have understood the true picture? Would people have grasped what was happening? They'd seen something incredible. Now, they'd seen Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah, two of the greats. I suppose in today's world, they'd be two of the rock stars of the Jewish faith. But they were people from the past. Peter was all for living in that moment. Perhaps that's why Jesus tells them to wait. Encouraging them to wait until the time is right. Perhaps if they'd come down and told everyone, or if Peter had built those tents, those dwellings, would they have been stuck in the past? They'd have been looking backwards. Jesus is saying, no, wait, because there is something greater. Something greater coming. You need to look forward. What you've just seen will define you, but you need to get it in context because there's more to come. And it's also about when the time is right. You need to wait. In effect, you need to wait till I've died and come back, because then this will all make more sense. And the past and the future will be linked, and you can move on. As Christians, as churches, perhaps we too look backwards and can get trapped in who we were and build monuments to what we've done, rather than look forward to what we are going to be. We need to get it in context. Everything we've done before is brilliant. It was in its time and it has defined who we are. But we now need to understand what's happening now. We need to take our mountaintop experiences and bring it down into a world right now in a way that makes sense to the people around us. Something that is real. something that is in context for them as much as it is in context for our faith. If we don't do that, our buildings and perhaps ourselves become shells. We just become monuments to what we were. Jesus never wants us to be a shell or an empty monument. We take what we have experienced. We take the love of God. We take the life we have experienced with Jesus, that mountaintop experience, and we bring it down and we walk through the world. And at the right time, in the right way, we use those experiences to connect with those around us to, as that lady did in the hospital, to make a difference to the right people at the right time. And that when I read it, that's what it meant to me, is take your faith, use it. In effect, God is saying, use it when I direct you at the right place, because then you will touch the right people. And you might only think it's a little thing, but that's how we change the world. That's how the world gets brighter. That's how the love of Jesus shines out brighter, by bringing that mountain down and touching the lives of those around us. Doesn't say it's going to be easy, but that's the beauty of it. It's tough going up, it's tough coming down, it's tough walking in the valley, but Jesus is with us. And if we take our experience and Jesus' love, we will change the world. And there is a time to say and tell everyone what we have experienced. And Jesus will tell us when. Amen. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Jesus, your love for us is never ending. You show us many glorious things. You walk with us on the high paths, and we see you there. You walk with us in the valleys, and at times we choose not to see you there. Open our eyes to see you everywhere we go. The more we see of you, the more we will share with others. The more we feel you holding us tight, the closer we will hold those around us. Be with us every day. Or should we say, allow us to open our eyes to see that you are with us every day. Amen. As we talk about seeing and feeling Jesus, let's sing, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord."
Before him now, with heaven.
come to our prayers for others, the offertory for God's work in this church and around the world will be taken. We bring before you this offering. It is an offering, for all we have belongs to you. Take all that we are and use them for the glory of your kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray for your world, a world that you gave to us, a world that we have broken. We pray for all those places in the world where there is violence, where people are not free to live their lives, for places where there is drought, where there is hunger, whereas there is selfishness. All these things are caused by us, because we chase our own greed and glory. Give us the strength to tell and show people there is another way. There is a way that peace and love and care and compassion are stronger than anything. We pray for our own country. We pray for tolerance, for understanding, for care. We pray that when anyone looks at another, all they see is a fellow brother or sister. That prejudice would be removed from people's hearts. That people will see human beings. That people will see in others Jesus Christ, that they will treat others as they would treat Jesus. We pray for all those people whose lives have taken them to places of regret. We pray for those whose disappointments have taken them to places of despair. For those whose experiences of betrayal have taken them to places of loneliness. We pray that we will meet those people and show them that you provide forgiveness. That there is hope, and that we will provide companionship. We pray for your church here in Wimslow, for all of us who meet here to worship you, that you will empower us to live lives that will allow your glory to shine out from us. That every day we will have the opportunity to touch somebody's life in some small way, that they may feel your soothing touch. We pray for this because you have done the same for us. Dear God, you laid down your Son's life for us. Give us the strength to put our own lives on one side to serve you. Amen. It's time for our not quite last hymn. If I've got this right, we've got number 470, and then the choir are going to give us a sung blessing. That's good, because I haven't got one prepared.